Coming up next, we have a couple of stage-related posts from MetroWeekly.com. Beginning with an interview with performer Claiborne Elder, who gets personal in his acclaimed cabaret. And then a Broadway review, Prayer for the French Republic is too sprawling for its own good. First, the Broadway and Gilded Age star, Claiborne Elder, has created a personal journey with the cabaret If the Stars Were Mine. By André Herford, on January 31, 2024. While the ladies of the Gilded Age waged a cutthroat war over opera boxes across the entire second season of the HBO hit, one of the gays of the 1880s set drama quietly crept closer to an arguably more meaningful victory. In a brief but significant scene, socialite John Adams, portrayed by out-gay Broadway musical man Claiborne Elder, informs his very closeted ex, Oscar Van Rijn, Blake Ritson, that he's involved with another man. "Are you happy with him?" asks Oscar. "I'm happy with me. That's as much as I need or hope for," John Adams replies, landing his giant leap towards liberation, as Oscar continues his hunt for a beard. "When I read that scene, I was so excited," Elder says over a relaxed, morning video call. "It felt like, we were, telling a story that wasn't just, why the gay guy is going to be really sad and have everything bad happen to him, but that, there could be a person that was like, no, I'm going to live an authentic life, in that time period, for whatever that means for him." As Elder notes of Gilded Age New York, it was technically illegal still to be gay, but there were a lot of gay people. There were a lot of gay clubs and gay bars. And so it isn't a total fantasy to think that there was a person that was like, no, I'm sort of living this life. In that moment between John and Oscar, the latter concedes he wishes he were brave enough to live so freely. "I rather envy you," he tells John. In turn, both men surely would envy the life Elder leads a century and a half later, out, successful, married to director-playwright Eric Rosen, the father of a six-year-old son, and free to delight audiences everywhere with a show that explicitly discusses, sometimes really explicitly, his modern life as a nice, gay ex-Mormon dad. Billed as part cabaret, part stand-up, Elder's If the Stars Were Mine started with his intention, after wrapping his 2022 run as Andy in Broadway's Company, to take a theater break in order to spend more time with his young son. He also was open to exploring other venues for his talents. "My music director, Rodney Bush, who plays the show with me everywhere, is a good friend of mine, and he was like, you need to put together a show," Elder recalls. The performer had previously toured a different cabaret set, and, though he had a great time doing it, he harbored no plans for a new one. "But something about the timing felt right. So I put the show together and I booked some dates, and I ended up just loving it," says Elder, who has presented If the Stars Were Mine at clubs and cabarets from coast to coast, with many more to follow, when he's not filming The Gilded Age's upcoming third season. "I thought last year was going to be the big year I did it, but this year, now I've booked it at twice as many places." Conceived by Elder, If the Stars Were Mine combines his takes on tunes from Sondheim, Whitney Houston, and the Great American Songbook, with humorous, heartfelt, and, surprisingly filthy, anecdotes exploring sex, fatherhood, and religion. "I have done this show for a very wide range of people," he says, clarifying just how filthy his fans should expect the show to be. "I did it in Provincetown during Bear Week, and I did it in Napa at a vineyard for a bunch of Napa people. Those, I think, are the two very opposite spectrums of the group, and it's the same show. Maybe I change the words slightly, but I tell the same stories and the same things. And even a good man gets a little dirty at times. This is just me," he shrugs. "Also, because of who I am as a nice, gay ex-Mormon dad, I don't want people to come in thinking, oh, what is he saying? Because the authentic version of myself is sometimes a little bit dirty, and definitely honest. And if I'm telling stories about my life, there will be stories that are about sex, and things like that. And not even just sex, but like, I tell a story about when I donated sperm to make my son, which some people think I talk about sperm a lot in that story. I just don't want anyone to be surprised by what it is. If the Stars Were Mine plays Kingston, New York, March 9, Albany, New York, March 10, Salt Lake City, March 21-24, New Orleans, April 18, New Hope, Pennsylvania, May 4, and Provincetown, Massachusetts, July 7. Follow Claiborne Elder on Instagram, and visit linktr.ee/ClaiborneElder for tickets.
Next we have a stage review. Prayer for the French Republic arrives on Broadway with great intentions, but is excessive in its telling. By Ryan Leeds, on January 15, 2024. Bloodied and beaten, Daniel, played by Arya Shah Qasimi, stumbles through the apartment door. While leaving school in the Sarcellus neighborhood of Paris, antisemites hurled insults at him and became physically violent. How many times have I begged you to wear a baseball cap? His mother Marcel, played by Betsy Adam, pleads. Why do you do this? Why do you insist on putting yourself in harm's way for no reason? She continues. Daniel, insistent on wearing a yarmulke, won't be deterred. Daniel's religious identity, and other topics of oppression, Zionism, belonging, and safety, are confronted head-on by the Benhamous and Salomons, the families at the center of playwright Joshua Harmon's thoughtful but overly long drama Prayer for the French Republic. Clocking in at over 3 hours, Harmon's exploration toggles between 2016 and 1944 and covers 5 generations. Patrick Salomon, Anthony Edwards, serves as the narrator as we're welcomed into a contemporary, affluent apartment. Sitting at a piano that bears the family name and is owned by his sister Marcel, née Salomon, Benhamous, he explains that the family business of selling the instruments dates back to 1855. The store is still in operation by their father, Pierre, played by Richard Masser, but sales have been painfully slow. 5 generations. All that history. Think of what the store has seen and survived, he exclaims. Indeed, the Montmartre shop has seen and survived a great deal. So have the Salomon family. Jumping to the past, Irma, played by Nancy Robinette, and Adolphe, played by Daniel Oresques, Patrick and Marcel's great-great-grandparents, await the status of their son Lucien, played by Ari Brand, and grandson, young Pierre, played by Ethan Haberfield, near the end of World War II. They've returned safely, but scarred from witnessing the horrors of the Holocaust. Many others in their family perished, including Pierre's own mother. This quartet handles Harmon's script with delicacy, but the flashback scenes do little to enhance the piece. In fact, they cause it to become a slog to endure. Perhaps Harmon included them to emphasize Patrick's view of remembrance. What is history, but a bunch of stuff other people tell you to get over already? Patrick says. So you do. You stop remembering. And eventually, everyone forgets. Even when you write it down, they forget. Or maybe they want to forget. Or maybe they need to forget, just to put one foot in front of the other. Surely the suffering and sacrifices of anyone's ancestors should not be minimized, denied, or forgotten, but in this case, the same effect of recollection could be accomplished through references by Salomon's descendants. Marcel's husband, Charles, played by Nail Nasser, whose Jewish family fled Algeria, is fed up with the spate of antisemitism. He declares that he wants to move to Israel, much to the shock of his immediate family and to the disapproval of his brother-in-law, Patrick. So your solution is to move to Israel? Marcel asks. Honey, do you need me to buy you a newspaper? You feel unsafe, so you want to move to Israel? At least in Israel, we're all unsafe. We're equally unsafe, Charles replies. Charles makes his announcement while hosting a family guest, Molly, played by Molly Ranson, Marcel's distant American cousin, who is studying in France. Her well-intended, enlightened comments only spark rifts between her and Charles and Marcel's daughter, Elodie, played by Frances Benhamou, whose real name is coincidentally the same as her fictitious family surname. Elodie is brutally acerbic. You have the American Jew who hates Israel or is highly critical of Israel, and I would argue part of why they feel able to be so critical of Israel is because they feel so safe in America, because they've convinced themselves that they can stay in America forever, and maybe that's true now, but if history is our guide and history must always be our guide, then you have to ask, so you feel safe today, but will that be the case 100 years from now? Or 10? It's part of a lengthy but well-crafted diatribe that Elodie dumps on Molly while the two are at a nightclub. Arguably, it is the show's best moment. Prayer for the French Republic originally premiered at the Manhattan Theater Club's off-Broadway stage in 2022. Anti-Semitism plagued the world then. In 2024, it continues to, particularly given the October 7, 2023 attack on Israel and the Gaza invasion that followed. Audience reaction will understandably be divided, and further debate will carry on past the theater exit. David Cromer directs the piece with a sensitive hand, but the pacing and often extraneous writing erodes the incisive points that the play could make in half the time. At its core, Prayer asks where safety resides. The play, its characters, and life itself offer no concrete answers or solace. Like the Ben-Hamous and Salomons, we forge ahead, relying solely on a combination of faith, family, or friends for endurance and comfort. Prayer for the French Republic earns 2 out of 5 stars. And is playing at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater, 261 West 47th Street in New York City through February 18, 2024. Thanks for tuning in, and if you enjoyed this, please hit like, and subscribe for more stage and entertainment news from MetroWeekly.com.